Welcome to the program, The EU and the World.
L'Europa e il mondo.
The podcast series of the Jean Monnet Chair, EU to Luck.
Hi there again, and welcome back to The EU and the World, L'Europa e il mondo, the podcast series of the EU to Luck Jean Monnet Chair at the University of Udine in Italy. It's my pleasure to welcome today Professor Anna Bojinovic-Fenko, who is a professor at the Chair of International Relations at the Faculty of Social Sciences at the University of Ljubljana. Welcome to the program, Anna.
Hello.
So we want to really take full advantage of your expertise in international organization and regional organizations. And therefore, I would start with a quite general but very interesting disciplinary question. Do you see any disciplinary differences between the approach of political science and the specific approach of international relations to the EU? So do different disciplines define the EU differently?
Yes, they do. The basic question in IR as a discipline and also in political science is who holds power, how it is distributed, who decides how the public affairs are going to be done. However, the units of analysis, what are we looking at when we say where is power, they differ. International relations theories and scholars started to deal with the European economic community and its prior communities and later with the EU first, because the states in Western Europe started to collaborate in a very specific way, and this was basically an intergovernmental, meaning interstate project. However, in the 80s, when this intergovernmental project clearly started to reshape towards more common policies, more supranational type of decision making, this political reality called at the time European communities started to resemble more to a political system, which nowadays definitely is, right? So that's why political scientists who usually deal with political systems within political communities, usually countries or subnational units of government, they saw value to also contribute through policy analysis, comparative politics, and similar. And so did the political theorists, because there was a lot to say what kind of community, political community, is an ever closer union among peoples in Europe, right? What are its values? What is the identity? What is the ideology, political ideology, or political culture that is based within this community? So in this regard, in the 80s, there was a big boost in political science approaches to European integration. And also the traditional theories of international relations, they were no longer applicable or applicable as much as they were in the 50s and 60s. So what happened is also international relations as a science developed towards accommodating the new realities of the European Union. So nowadays you can read through IR, through international relations discipline, about the European Union as a security community, as an international actor, and even as a region that acts in the world. And this actually is the basis of your program, Jean Monnet Chair, and the podcast as well.
Thank you. This is so interesting indeed. It's a shame that we don't have a longer time to discuss these theoretical and disciplinary issues. But let's go now back to reality in the world. So in which respect is the European Union such a different animal from other international or regional organizations?
It is the most common element that the European Union has with other international organizations is the fact that it is a regional organization. This means that its membership is limited to neighboring countries. For the European Union, this means that the country needs to be a European country with all the elements that this entails. Why is this a common thing? Because most international organizations in the world are regional as well. So they are limited to some sort of neighboring countries. However, this is practiced in the European Union in a very different way in terms of five elements. One is the organs. And here we can very quickly see that the institutions, as we call them, the institutions of the European Union, basically already have a power distribution in terms of a political system. So there is a sort of a government, a sort of a parliament, a judicial monitoring, and then there's a lot of advisory organs, right? In other governmental organizations, member states are the only ones that are represented in organs, and thus the power distribution is only among member states and not among, on the one side, member states, and on the other side, other stakeholders in the political system, for example, like the European Parliament or the European Commission, who represent definitely not member states' interests, but collective or parliamentary group interests. Another very big difference would also be that the way decisions are adopted within the European Union follows a very uncommon practice in other governmental organizations, and that is that the governments of the member states in the EU have agreed to take a large part of laws that they adopt together with European Parliament, where they don't have a vote. The European Parliament are the citizens of the EU, and the European parliamentarians represent their interests. Also, member states can be outvoted because there is a qualified majority voting in the Council on majority of issues. We call these elements supranationality. And this is the most specific aspect of the EU because it means that states have withdrawn from the absolute view of sovereignty as their characteristic or property, and thus they see a common way of managing sovereignty at the supranational level.
Perfect. So there is enough material to argue that the EU is definitely a peculiar animal in the international landscape. And another question that comes to my mind is, how is the EU seeing actually the international community? So what kind of understanding, almost worldview of the international community, does the EU have and represent?
This peculiar structure and the way the decisions are taken within the European Union, not only among governments who represent national interests of states, but also of other stakeholders in the European political community, definitely guides a worldview that the EU as an actor in the international community represents or wants to voice. When we talk about international or world order, we usually look at three things. One is, what is the mode of governance? And with this respect, the European Union definitely favors multilateralism, meaning that you have as many states as possible that are interested and that they are able and willing to participate and collaborate on international affairs and reach common decisions. And not unilateralism, for example, which would mean, as Italians know very well, uni meaning one and latera meaning a state, so one state decisions in the world. The second element of world order would be what legitimizes the fact that there is no central power in international community, and thus states have to agree how to manage coexistence. And this element of justification or legitimacy according to the European Union, is definitely international law. So the European Union does not favor dominance, nor does it favor, well, hegemony is acceptable if it's a legitimate leadership, right? Where the EU obviously put a lot into leading the international liberal order, for example, right? But definitely the element that the EU sees that legitimizes world order is based on international law. And the third element, very quickly, would simply be how many powers in the world do we have? The EU sees itself as one of those powers, but then how many there should be? The EU doesn't really hold a preference. Should there be a multi-polar system or any other sort?
Thank you very much, Anna Bojinovic. Thank you for joining the program today, and remember that we will come back soon with more episodes of our podcast series. Take care and goodbye.